is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Mark Pising, author of N4 Down. This is the story of the early part of the 20th century and the search for achievement, adventure, and conquest of the North Pole. The subtitle, The Hunt for the Arctic Airship Italia. Mark, congratulations and good evening. We go immediately to an exciting scene in your book. July 25th, 1925. We're in Norway at a house, an alpine-like house in a part of Norway that is on the Bunes Fjord that leads into the Oslo Fjord. And the name of the alpine house is Uraniborg. Who is present at the meeting, and why is this important for Arctic exploration? Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, John, and thank you very much for having me on your show. Present at the meeting, you've got some of the main characters of the story. You've got Roald Amundsen, who is obviously the famous Arctic explorer, first man to the South Pole, led the first expedition through the Northwest Passage. You had Umberto Nobili, who's probably less well-known, who was a kind of a genius Italian airship designer, pilot, and had aspirations, I guess you could say, to be a polar explorer. And you had Lincoln Ellsworth, who some of the audience may know, kind of heir to the Ellsworth fortunes. He worshipped people like Wyatt Earp. Later on in his life, he wore apparently Wyatt Earp's wedding ring for luck. He explored the Antarctic later on, and the Antarctic transpolar flight in the early 1930s is one of the great triumphs of exploration down there. And then Risa Larsson, who most people won't have heard of, but he was Amundsen's right-hand man. He was a very skilled pilot. He has some knowledge about how to fly airships as well.
They're meeting to plan an expedition that is proposed of an airship, not only to the North Pole, but an airship for the first time to fly over the North Pole. So why is Amundsen here? His success was at the South Pole going overland. Why does he want to fly to the North Pole? What does that mean to him, Mark?
Well, I guess you could say it's unfinished. There's two things. It's unfinished business. He wanted to go to the North Pole back in kind of 1908 and 1909. Two explorers called Cook and Parry claimed to have got there, so he kind of had to kind of divert his interest towards the South Pole, so he never quite achieved that goal. He became fascinated by aviation, so he could see the potential for aviation as a kind of way of kind of covering the distances so much more quickly and more easily than slogging it out on foot. And this is towards the end of his career as well. I mean, I characterize it in the book as one last big paycheck. He was kind of constantly broke, constantly bankrupt, and I think he's reckoning that this flight, along with all the kind of lectures afterwards, the best-selling book, would be his kind of ticket into retirement.
In other words, this is a world famous hero out of funds. Hence, Lincoln Ellsworth is present because he's financed. Now, the Risa Larsson is Amundsen's best friend. These are Norwegians. Yeah. They're very, very famous worldwide, but they're worshipped in Norway. Umberto Nobile, airship designer, airship director during the war, the Great War. What do we need to know about Umberto Nobile? Why does he want to go to the North Pole?
Well, okay, I personally, in my reading of him, his family, he's a kind of descendant of aristocrats who've lost their status and lost their land, in the reunification of Italy. So there's a sense of, I think, of trying to recapture some of that glory. Other people will probably disagree with me. He was an incredibly talented young man. He studied in kind of engineering in a lot of detail. He got taken up by Arturo Crocco, who's a kind of another genius Italian kind of engineer who, especially in the West, I don't think we've heard much of. And he kind of got into airship building in the First World War. And I guess like lots of engineers who I met writing some of my articles I've written for the BBC and other publications, airships seem to seduce engineers and they become obsessed with them. So he started to build airships with Proco during the First World War, became director of the kind of the factory the Italians had to manufacture these airships at quite a young age. After the war, they carried on. He was one of the designers of the Roma, which obviously crashed. The Americans brought off the Italians. And he was under a lot of pressure as well. I mean, he was known not to be, he refused to sell his factory to kind of, various kind of, I suppose, speculators after the First World War. These speculators, I guess you could say, morphed into the fascists in Italy. So he was seen as being not one of us. He was seen as perhaps as being sympathetic to socialism and communism. So he was also under pressure in the kind of Mussolini's Italy. Because, I mean, Mussolini gained power in 22-23, and in the March from Rome. And so they were now in power, and he was seen as being, is he really one of us? Does he support us? Lots of people were quite jealous of him as well. So I think he was also looking for something that's going to protect him as well.
So at this meeting, which is secret because they don't want attention, and at this meeting in which they will soon sign a contract for the purchase of N1, that's the name of the Italian-built airship that will become the Norge, a Norwegian, they're keeping the secret, but each man at the table has a motive that isn't entirely about exploring. It's about either vindication or triumph or cash. And with Nobile, because he lives a very long time, it's every possible motive. The Mussolini connection is especially rich. What does Mussolini make of Nobile at this moment, 1925?
Well, in 1925, Mussolini seems to be on very good terms with Nobile. Like the fascist movement, all the fascists in Italy, they kind of worship aviators. The aeronauts were the kind of almost like the personification of fascist ideology. So he is seen, along with a number of other kind of pilots, as being kind of the future of Italy. Nobody could have put one-to-one meetings with Mussolini, like he did with the Pope and the King. So he was very well thought of, other than in terms of, whose side is he really on?
So this is putting together, I'm translating into the 21st century, this is putting together SpaceX, commercial space, go to Mars and the moon without the state and being worshipped for it. Putting it together with political ambitions globally, global political ambitions, and a contest between Norway and Italy. Did I read that correctly, Mark?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There was a kind of a power struggle, I suppose this expedition, Amundsen's ambitions, brought these two very different kind of cultures, very different, different, I suppose, systems together, and almost created this clash.
Yes, we're in the midst of a drama here that's about to take flight. I'm speaking to Mark Pising. Remember, this is about a tragedy that reveals the contest, the nationalism contest of the early 20th century that will turn into the catastrophe that we remember as the Second War. N4 Down is the title, The Hunt for the Arctic Airship Italia. We're going to lift off next for the Arctic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.